Radio.
When I left home to go overseas or interstate, whatever you call it, from Tasmania, I was the first child of my parents to actually leave Tasmania. And so I remember when my dad brought me to the airport. And 10 years ago, I remember as clear as it was yesterday, the look on his face. And he said to me, "Now I know how my father felt when I left." I didn't reciprocate the feeling, of course. I felt for him, but I was going on an adventure. But a few years later, I was all set to go home for the Christmas holidays. Flights booked, everything all ready to go. The last minute, circumstances stopped me being able to go home. I couldn't go home that year. I had to spend Christmas by myself. And I felt a little bit of what he must have felt when he had to say goodbye to me. Now, I'm sure you guys have had these moments too, having to say goodbye to people, your loved ones. Now, add on top of that, a terminal illness. And on top of that, the promise that you will never spend time with your family again. That's leprosy. When a leper was diagnosed, they would be sent outside. They had to wear their clothing disheveled and their hair all over the place so that people could see they were a leper. And in case that didn't help, they had to cup their hands over their mouth, or as the gospel says, shield their upper lip, and holler, "Unclean, unclean," so that no one will go near them to touch them. Because the disease would spread so quickly. It wasn't that they weren't loved or cared for, but they had to protect the community from the contagion of leprosy. So they were outside the towns, the cities and the communities. But then in today's gospel, we have a leper run up to Jesus. What pluck, what courage, what faith that man must have had to actually approach somebody. And how does he approach Jesus? He comes to him and he falls on his knees. In St. Matthew and St. Luke, it says he fell on his face and he worshipped. Somehow, this man knew that Jesus was God. And so he went to him and said, "If you want to, you can cure me." And the response? Jesus did the unimaginable, the unthinkable. He stretched out his hand, and note the parallel to the sacrament of confession. Stretch out your hand, and he touches the leper. "Of course I will be cured." Now, to touch a leper, it meant that you were ritually unclean. You were put outside the community, and you would go through a quarantine process to make sure you hadn't caught the disease. So no one went near them. But Jesus, it was different. Instead of the disease transferring to Jesus, because of his power, because of his holiness, his cleanness transferred to the leper, and the leper was made well. And this wasn't without repercussions for our Lord. He said, "Don't go tell anyone." And what does the leper do? He goes and tells everybody. So what does Jesus have to do then? He was forced to go outside the towns and villages where nobody lived. Jesus didn't say, "Be cured, all hunky-dory." He took the leper's place. How extraordinary the love he had for this man. Now, what does all this mean for us? How does it apply to our lives? Scripture always or often analogizes leprosy to sin. Now, I was thinking the last few days of people who say that society nowadays has lost its sense of sin. I was thinking, well, yeah, that's true, but in a sense it's also necessary, because our society has also lost the sense of a loving, merciful God. So what do I mean? Let's think about psychology for a moment. Just think, when you have a severe trauma, what do? Our memory somehow or other blocks it out. The memory's gone. My brother a few years ago, somehow on a straight road, we don't know how yet, he rolled the car he was driving. And from the moment the car started swerving to the moment the car was upside down and he was scrambling out of it, it was fine, but not a scratch. He has no memory for that few seconds. Now, don't quote me, I'm not a psychologist, but I hear that the reason we block out parts of our memory from traumatic experiences is because we're not mature enough, we're not psychologically healthy enough to deal with it at this moment. And often we see during life, psychological traumas from childhood or earlier life actually come back to the memory, and we have to deal with them at later stage when we are mature enough. So it's sort of a coping mechanism. Now, spiritually, we have a similar coping mechanism. We can't see our sinfulness when we can't see God's merciful love for us. Because if we did, we'd fall into despair. Now, look, I mean, I say, oh, I'm a great guy, people say. I haven't killed anyone. Oh, okay. I'm a great guy. I follow the Ten Commandments. Okay. What does St. Paul say in today's second reading? He says, do everything, like get up, eat your breakfast, drink your drinks, for the glory of God. And be anxious for the advancement, the good of the other person. It's like, gee, I mean, just yesterday I had found a new prayer and I was praying it. And I thought, oh, this looks good. So I was praying, Mother Mary, give me the grace of God. And I was thinking, you know, for this and this and this. And then I kept on reading the prayer, and it was actually for that person and those people and them over there. And I think, gee, automatically, how selfish am I? It just struck me. We don't even notice this selfish sinfulness of ourselves. But who said they were the greatest sinners? The saints. The saints always said, I am the greatest of sinners. Now, what's going on? Were they lying? Were they deceived? Or do they know something we don't? And not just people from the past or great saints from hundreds of years ago. Just not too long ago, I was talking to somebody who's been advancing in the spiritual life and becoming a lot closer to God, knowing His love, His mercy for them. And they came to me and said, Father, I had an awareness of my soul, and it was so black and filthy. They were shocked. They were shocked. And I can only encourage them, God's mercy. Don't worry about it. Yes, we are sinners, but God's mercy overcomes all this. Why? Because just like the leper, when we run to Jesus, who has the divinity, the power to take it away, that transferal, when we bring it to Him, our sinfulness, He stretches out His hand in mercy. He touches us and He heals us. He takes the sinfulness away. It changes the blackness of our soul to pure, shining white. This is what He does. He takes our place. That's why He's on the cross. That is what Jesus has done for us. So I want to finish with just a practical tip. Because like the leper, when the leper was exiled from the community, when we're in our sinfulness, we are also exiled from the community. We may be living amidst our family and our friends, but this sinfulness puts up a wall, a blockade, that no planes, no boats, no cars can overcome. It damages our relationships and destroys the good union that we should have with our loved ones. What overcomes this? If we want to have deeper, better, more wholesome relationships with God and with our loved ones, I want to give you one practical tip. And that is a daily examination of conscience. Every day of your life, but for Lent, use it as a Lenten practice. Every day, at the end of your day, examine your day. And it's not just me saying this. You heard of Dale Carnegie? He's famous for writing the book How to Win Friends and Influence People. He said the same thing. At the end of your day, examine your day. Look at where we've fallen, where we could have done better, where we wanted to have done better. Bring it to the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, take this away and transfer Your holiness into me. When we do this, we will soon find that our blackness that we don't even recognize is replaced with His glory, with His holiness.
As a free, not-for-profit service, Cradio requires the support of people like you to help keep us going in our mission. To donate, visit cradio.org.au/donate.